Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, January 12, 2017. And with me today, I have John Martellaro. How are you, John?
I'm doing well. Thank you. And hi, Kelly. Oh, wait a minute. Never mind.
You know, I could have included Kelly in the show today, but I like every now and then just to get to do one-on-one shows.
A solo performance.
Yeah, I command a solo performance. And well, and actually with the topics today, I thought that this would be a great opportunity for us to do the show, just the two of us. And if Brian was here, he would know exactly
name?
What song to start
just
singing.
Just the two of us. It sounds so romantic.
It does.
Just the two of us.
It's really romantic.
It's so romantic.
Hold on. I'm going to light this candle over here. Let me get the Barry White playing. This is going to be an awesome, awesome day. Anyhow, speaking of awesome, we do have a sponsor, and our sponsor is Blue Apron. They're the company that puts together quality food ingredients and then mails them out to you with recipes so that you can make awesome dinners for you and and whoever it is that you love eating with. So we'll talk about them soon. But John, the reason that I wanted to do the show with you, in addition to the fact that it's fun just to get to talk with you, is that we're going to talk TVs a little bit. And I figured anyone else on the show,
my favorite subject.
Yeah, they would just have to sit by quietly. Yeah.
Right.
So here's the deal. I wrote a piece this morning about how Apple is reportedly negotiating with different producers of original scripted shows. And what they're doing is they're trying to find some really high quality shows that they can buy, much like Netflix and Amazon do with the shows that they have, you know, so like House of Cards, Transparent, Stranger Things, Sense8, you know, Man in the High Castle. By the way, John, if you have not been watching Man in the High Castle, I think it's actually a better interpretation of Philip K. Dick's book than Philip K. Dick's book.
Cool.
Just toss that out.
I know my wife was watching it in the recliner on her iPad recently, so I have to ask her about her verdict.
I have enjoyed seasons 1 and 2, which is all that's out right now. But anyhow, the real point is that Apple is out on the hunt for content like that. They want to have that caliber of television show, and they want to find a few of them. We'll just say a handful for now. And they want to be able to start airing these shows by the end of the year, and this is all going to be part of Apple Music. So I don't see it as a direct assault on Netflix or Amazon, because Apple's not going for the breadth of content that you get through Amazon Prime or through Netflix streaming. I think what they're doing is looking for a way to really differentiate themselves from Spotify. And I think they're also doing what they've done so many times, where they just kind of put their toe into a market and feel it out a little bit and figure out what it is that's going to work for them. And then they let out all the stops and run with it.
I do have some political concerns initially out of the box. First of all, it kind of feels like a Me Too thing, where when other people are successful with a product, say, you know, building smartphones, then, you know, like Walgreens or John Deere tractors says, well, we should sell smartphones too. They're so much fun and they make so much money. We should do that also. So there is that kind of like copycat aspect of it. The second thing is that when you do it on a selected basis, you run yourself into the possibility of being compared to the content in the sense that Netflix shows everything. Netflix has lots of stuff. There's TV shows, there's movies, all different kinds of movies. You can't really characterize Netflix by what they show because they're Catholic in their interests. They show everything that they can get a contract for. Small Catholic, small C. It's a technical term. But
I love Apple that, when it comes out. Did that.
when Apple comes out with something that they think is going to be good, it's going to have a peculiar attachment to it. People are going to say, well, you know, is this the best Apple can do? Why is Apple showing so much violence when they're, you know, supposed to be a family friendly company? So there's opportunity there to characterize Apple by what they're showing, because this is not their forte. It kind of couples in with the Me Too kind of thing. And third, I'm going to be amused to hear stories about when Eddie Q approaches the studios and they say, well, we're recording all of our shows in 8K and down-resing to 4K with HDR. You guys have a vehicle, right, to deliver 4K video, right, right, right?
I think I know where you're going with that. Apple TV.
So you know, you got to be prepared for serendipity and the future in this business. And Apple being kind of laggardly in developing a 4K Apple TV is something that they should have been doing all along to prepare and position themselves for these kinds of ventures. So the whole thing kind of just kind of makes me feel like, oh, we have a whole lot of money. How can we spend it? And how can we get in on something that everybody else is doing? And I have a feeling that it's going to come under some scrutiny and criticism. It doesn't seem to me like something where everybody goes, oh, you know, I have Amazon Prime. I do. I think it's great. I watch it just for the having the grand tour with the Top Gear guys. And I have Netflix. Mm-hmm. And I have Apple TV, and I watch selected content from all of those. But I don't get the feeling that everybody's going to be going, wow, this is a boon. This is something Apple should have been doing all along. This is going to be great. This is going to make them so much money. This is what we've been waiting for Apple to do. This is going to be just part of Apple's, you know, ongoing glorious future. I'm having a hard time visualizing that right now. Maybe it'll change.
All right. Well,
maybe they'll get into it and do such a great job that they'll just, you know, sort of like win all sorts of awards. But right now I'm kind of, I have some technical and political concerns.
All right. I can understand why you would be concerned, because the whole entertainment industry is not a market that Apple has been a part of, you know, in this way. So it's a new thing, and it could go horribly wrong. But when Netflix got into producing their own original content, people were skeptical, because all Netflix had ever done before that was buy licensing to stream or rent DVDs for content other people had already produced.
And but this is in Netflix's DNA. This is perfectly
okay. Then how about Amazon?
Suited for,
because Amazon is an online retailer, and then they did the same thing. They went out and started buying original content and showing it as a tool to help boost interest in the services that they have. Now I see Apple doing the same thing, which on one hand, sure, you could say is Me Too, but on the other hand, if this is what the market is. And so if you're going to play in the market, you need to play in the market. And the market right now is more than just streaming music. It's streaming all the content. So you need to have interesting content that sets you apart. And that's not going to be the music, because even though you get exclusive deals for an album or an artist for a while, at some point, you need something else that sets you apart. And you need the thing that people talk about at work with their friends or talk about with their friends at the bar. And those are the TV shows.
We've had this discussion with Dave Hamilton before, as I recall. The whole idea was that, or maybe it was Adam Christensen, where the meme was that you don't really care where the content is coming from. You want to have a channel guide. You want to express your preferences, and you go, you know, show me the shows that are on tonight with Amy Adams. I don't care if it's on Netflix. I just want to watch Amy Adams, you know? So I don't know that Apple has a lot to gain right now in my mind from being known for producing original content. Could happen. They could do such a great job. But, you know, there's a lot of competition right now. Everybody wants to engage these studios for specialized content. And there's a drain on actor talent. And everybody's jumping on the bandwagon. It's going to be hard for Apple to jump in and really clearly stand out. And the other thing, I hate to bring this up. I hate to, but I got to.
Okay.
There has been some concern about Apple's product vision and execution in 2016. And the senior executives had to take pay cuts and some things didn't go right for Apple. And so there could be an argument that says Apple should be, you know, getting its house in order, shipping iPads and Macs on schedule, you know, not bricking your Apple Watch when you do an update, and taking care of its battery issues and its new MacBook Pros, and generally getting their act together. And why are they spending all this money on things that don't relate to their core business? So there could be a little bit of irritation expressed by this diversion into video entertainment. I don't know.
It's possible. Or it could be that Apple gets, I'll just throw a number out there, 5 stunningly awesome shows. And people just think it's the most awesome thing ever.
Could be.
But the other side of this, which you brought up, is 4K. Apple needs to address the big 4K hole in their entertainment product line if they expect to get a lot of the high-quality content that's coming out. So do you think maybe this is a precursor to an updated Apple TV with 4K support?
You know, it could be politics. It could be something like this. Could be Eddie Q sits down with Phil Schiller and Tim Cook and says, I want to deliver some great video content in iTunes. And Phil and Tim say, cool, let's do it. And Eddie says, but we don't have a 4K HDR Apple TV. What happened to that? And Tim Cook says, well, Bob Mansfield was working on it, but then I sent him over to work on the car project. And this guy left the company, and we sort of dropped the ball on 4K. So we kind of let that drop. And so Eddie says, well, what are we going to do about it? And Tim Cook says, oh, I don't know. I'm looking to hire somebody. And Eddie says, well, maybe if I go ahead with this project, it'll, you know, get a fire lit and we'll get this done. And Tim Cook says, yeah, let's work on it.
So, you know, you've worked for Apple in the past. It's very possible you described it nearly verbatim what has happened.
Yeah, it could be. Could be.
Yeah, and as I recall, the fourth generation Apple TV is fully capable of handling 4K. Apple just didn't build it to do it.
I mean, don't know that that's true. I mean, you have to have the proper chipset.
Yeah, well, I heard that the chipset that Apple has, and keep in mind, it's been so long since I've actually looked at the technical specs for an Apple TV. But as I recall, the chipset that Apple is using in the fourth generation Apple TV technically is 4K ready. But
with HDR?
Yes, but they didn't actually build the device to take advantage of that. So it's not like they could do a software update and say, and everyone has a 4K Apple TV. You'd still have to go buy a new Apple TV.
Well, you know, we normally think about those things coming out at the Christmas holiday shopping season, but maybe Apple's got one in the works and maybe we'll see it here in March.
Well, which would be cool, but Apple is looking at airing shows by the end of the year. So they could still do a fall Apple TV refresh with 4K support and still have it out in time for the TV shows that are supposed to be coming.
Yeah, there's a lot of orchestration that has to go on. Here's our initiatives. Here's our product vision. Here's the products we want to ship. Here's the technology pipeline. Here's where we want to be. here's how we have to marry these products and get them ready for simultaneous release. There's a lot of that stuff. I wrote yesterday that I thought maybe Bob Mansfield working on the Carter project was diluting a little bit of Apple's orchestration of its hardware. Just a guess.
Or it's possible he refined it and they were diluted before he took over the project.
Yeah.
Yeah. But since we're not internal to Apple, we just have to speculate. Hey, we have a sponsor today.
And that's cool.
Yes, that sponsor is Blue Apron. And I think it's pretty cool because Blue Apron is doing something that is really cool. Okay, so the deal is a lot of times, actually the majority of times, when people go to the grocery store, they buy the same things and they make the same meals and they'll have like two or three meals that they make and that's it. And to me, that just sounds crazy, but I know I've fallen into that rut at times, and I know other people that they just eat the same thing all the time, and it's a habit, and it's easy to do, and you know, like a couple things you like, and so that's what you make. And then you just don't end up trying cool new things because you're not thinking about, well, what other ingredients do I need to get? And I don't know the recipes. And then here comes Blue Apron. And what they've done is put together some really great dinner menus. And you just sign up for the service. And they send you three dinners a week for two people. They also have a plan where you can get like four meals or meals for four people. And then once a week, you get this delivery, and it has all the ingredients to make all three of the meals, and it has the recipe card, so you have full instructions with graphics and stuff, so you know what in this box you need to use for which meal, and then you put the ingredients together, and you make a really nice dinner. And it costs less than going to a restaurant because you're paying under $10 per person per meal. And the food's going to be so much better because it's right there. You're making it fresh and you're making it hopefully with someone that you enjoy being with. And part of the fun for me when I'm cooking is getting to cook with someone else. I think it's just a really fun social thing. And you can do all that with Blue Apron. And if you don't like the three meals that they have set for that week, no big deal, because they have alternates that you can choose, and then you just pick one of the other things. And the example I used the other day, and it still holds true. Let's say one of the main meals has broccoli in it. And for me, broccoli is just like this horrible poison that I can't imagine putting in my head or inflicting on anyone else. No problem. I just won't pick the broccoli dinner. I'll pick one of the others that doesn't have broccoli and have that instead. And now I'm happy because I'm eating something that I like so much better. So really good food, really easy company to work with. Signing up takes only a couple minutes, and even better, you, dear listeners, can sign up and get three free meals delivered to you for free. So you don't pay for the food and you don't pay for the shipping. It's that free. All you have to do is go to the Blue Apron website. That's blueapron.com/TDO. blueapron.com/TDO. blueapron.com/TDO, and sign up, and you'll get that week's worth of meals delivered right to your door for free. And if you're skeptical, like mail order dinner, I don't know, give it a shot, because you're not out any money and you're going to be so pleasantly surprised. It's really cool and it's a lot of fun. So go get yourself some free meals. blueapron.com/TDO. And thank you, Blue Apron, for being our sponsor. Okay.
Yes, thank you.
So, John, real quick before we wrap up, you've heard the stories going around about people finding pennies inside their MacBooks.
Yeah. What's your take on this? Andrew wrote about this yesterday. We were vastly amused by this when we first heard it. Lots of different theories evolved about what was happening. It was only the optical drives, and that was probably the key to deciphering what was going on here. I think the final verdict was is that because of the side-loading slot, that the mysterious gremlins, otherwise known as children, might have been inserting pennies and coins into your optical drive. Because, you know, these coins wouldn't have been readily available at the point of manufacture in China. So where did they come from? And I think Brian or Andrew talked to somebody at iFixit. And the conclusion was, and an Apple Genius, too. And they talked about, you'd be surprised the things that we find inside MacBooks with the old ones with slot loading optical drives. People of various ages or by accident or intention somehow manage to get things stuck in there. And then it kind of gravitates towards the spindle. And then when you open it up for repair, you go, wow, where did this come from? That's a pretty logical analysis. It was kind of mysterious at first because we thought, you know, was this a prank by the manufacturer? Was this some sort of Russian spy device where there was transmitting electronics inside a penny? You know, but that's been pretty well ruled out. So it was kind of an interesting story that Andrew discovered.
It is, and I have two hypotheses. The first one is it's a prank, not a prank in the sense that people manufacturing the computers were putting pennies in thinking it was funny, but someone, like disassembling the drive, putting the penny in, putting it back together and taking the photo and saying, holy crap, look what I found inside my laptop. And then someone else says, hey, me too. And it just kind of grows. And the other thing which you have already mentioned is people putting stuff in the optical slot. And at some point they find out that it's still in there, you know, like a kid or a drunk adult just puts a penny inside optical drive. When I was a Mac consultant many years ago, I would oftentimes go out on site to help clients with their projects. I was working with graphic design companies and advertising agencies, and some of my clients were freelancers, and I'd go out to help them with whatever the workflow problem was, and invariably it had come up at some point. So I've got this weird problem, and I can't get DVDs in or out of my MacBook Pro. Can you help me with that? Sure. And I'd open it up and I'd pull out playing cards or credit cards or whatever their kids had slid in there long ago. So this kind of dates me. In the tray loading optical drives, I pulled part of a peanut butter sandwich out. And that's not what my client said. They did not say, oh my. but after they said what they did say, they followed up by saying, and my kid is in so much trouble when they get home from school today. So anyhow, there we go. I don't think there's any conspiracy here. I just think it's kind of a fun little story. Now that we don't have optical drives on our computers, it was the SD card slot for a little while that you could pop stuff in, and now we don't even have that on the new MacBook Pro. So,
and now we know the backstory of why Apple discontinued optical drives.
Because people are stupid and put stuff in the slots that shouldn't go there.
Right.
All right. Well, on that happy note, hey, we're out of time. So, John, thank you for being here today.
Oh, you're very welcome. Pleasure.
It's always fun to get to chat with you. And I knew since I wanted to talk about televisions and ultimately Apple TV, you would be so in.
Yep.
Yeah. So listeners, thank you for joining us. And head over to the Blue Apron website. That's blueapron.com/TDO. And get yourself 3 free meals for 2 people delivered right to your door. No charge. like really seriously, no money out of your pocket, totally do this because they're sending out some really, really great food and everyone deserves to have dinner. Every single one of you. All right. So head on over to blueapron.com/TDO. Thanks again for being here. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.